Welcome to an excerpt of the CME activity, Black and White, Racial Disparities in the Treatment of Patients with CAD, which is certified by the Association of Black Cardiologists and presented by A.J. Conrad Smith, M.D., and Wayne B. Batchelor, M.D. Dr. Smith is an Associate Professor of Medicine, Director, Cardiac Catheterization Labs, Heart and Vascular Institute, UPMC Presbyterian, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dr. Smith has disclosed no relevant financial relationships. Dr. Smith does not intend to discuss off-label uses of drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics approved by the FDA for use in the United States. Dr. Smith does not intend to discuss investigational drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics not approved by the FDA for use in the United States. Dr. Batchelor is an assistant professor of medicine, Florida State University College of Medicine, Tallahassee, Florida. Dr. Batchelor has disclosed the following relevant financial relationships. He served as an advisor or consultant for Abbott Laboratories and Cordis. He served as a speaker or a member of a speaker's bureau for Abbott Laboratories and Cordis. Dr. Batchelor does not intend to discuss off-label uses of drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics approved by the FDA for use in the United States. Dr. Batchelor does not intend to discuss investigational drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics not approved by the FDA for use in the United States. The purpose of this activity is to update clinicians on factors contributing to racial disparities in the treatment of coronary artery lesions by percutaneous coronary intervention. This activity is supported by Boston Scientific and Abbott Laboratories. To participate in the CME activity, please go to medscape.org/features/audio and select the title.
Hello, I'm Conrad Smith, Associate Professor of Medicine, Director of the Cardiac Cath Labs Heart and Vascular Institute at the UPMC Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Welcome to our program, Black and White, Racial Disparities in the Treatment of Patients with CAD. Joining me today at TCT in San Francisco, California, is Wayne Batchelor, an interventional cardiologist from the Southern Medical Group in Tallahassee and Assistant Professor of Medicine at Florida State University College of Medicine. Welcome. Wayne, thanks for joining us. Today we wanted to talk about disparities in the use of drug-eluting stents. Now, we know that there is a long history of disparities in the use of invasive procedures, whether it be with PCI, CABG, ICDs. But what is the issue with drug-eluting stents? Are there disparities there?
Well, there actually are a number of studies that suggest that African Americans are less likely to receive drug-eluting stents compared with non-African American patients. Hannon and his colleagues from the New York State PCI Registry have shown that in 25,000 patients, African American patients were significantly less likely to receive a drug-eluting stent than the non-African American counterparts, usually Caucasian patients in that study. And there was about a 33% reduction in the likelihood of an African American patient during that time of study between 2003 and 2004 to have received a drug-eluting stent. And when one tries to account for that in terms of other baseline factors, there seemed to be an independent effect that race had on that on that likelihood of receiving a drug-eluting stent. Sunil Rao also has similar data from the ACC NCDR database, PCI database, and in over 400,000 patients a few years ago, Rao and his colleagues showed similar findings that race, gender, age, and other clinical risk factors have an impact on the decision to use drug-eluting stents versus bare metal stents in patients. So I think there's an evolving database on this, but I think it's mirroring much of what we've seen with regards to African Americans receiving bypass surgery, AICDs, and stents in general. We're also seeing that if you get a stent, you're a little less likely to get a drug-eluting stent in the era of drug looting stents compared with bare metal stents if you're African American.
So I know it's a complex problem, but what are some of the factors that are contributing to these disparities?
Yeah, it is extremely complex to study these. And as you can imagine, the databases aren't able to capture all the factors that we'd like to associate in studying these mechanisms. So there are a number of biases that could be in place. There are patient factors. I think that on average, African Americans may not come to the table with the same degree of health literacy as a number of other ethnic groups. There are socioeconomic factors. There are hospital factors. Interestingly enough, studies have shown that African Americans are more likely to be treated in a facility that's a low volume center that does fewer PCIs with worse outcomes and in centers that are less likely to implant drug-eluting stents. So there are hospital-related factors as well. There are factors that relate probably to the decision-making process that occurs between the patient and the physician. There may be a physician bias. It's very hard to tease this out, and frankly, it's extremely complex. But I think the totality of data would suggest that probably patient, physician, and institutional and larger-based public health factors impact this decision, and we're not quite sure exactly to what extent each of these factors independently play a role.
So we know that drug-eluting stents are effective. They decrease the likelihood of restenosis by almost 50%.
Yes.
And despite the firestorm that we heard at the ASC years ago with respect to the potential increased hazard, I think we've worked through that now so that we think that there are comparable safety issues with respect to both bare metal stents and drug-eluting stents. All that data, though, is in large populations. What do we know about African-American patients? Do we have data specifically looking at the risks and benefits of drug-eluting stents in that group?
Yeah, we do. And again, the numbers are small. And one of the most sort of difficult things to draw from the literature is some of these factors and how they affect African-Americans in particular, because the numbers are usually small. And the databases, many of the databases that have large numbers are registries, some of which don't have fantastic angiographic information. So there are small studies that one of which was done was published by an author named Poladasu in 2008, and at a single center study, 628 patients, African American patients were studied, 628, and they found that compared with bare metal stents, African Americans who received drug eluting stents had better outcomes. And interestingly, in that small study, they actually found a significant reduction in mortality, myocardial infarction, and TVR. I think most of us would expect TVR to be reduced, and that's no surprise. I think it was a bit of a surprise to see that death and infarction were reduced in that small study after accounting for baseline differences in characteristics between the two groups. Now, when we extrapolate from that small study to the larger registries, there's a lot of data that's come out of the Washington Hospital Center over the last few years, and we're seeing now if African Americans do receive a drug-eluting stent, there seems to be an increased risk of stent thrombosis that's coming out from some of the more recent registries, and I think a lot of this data comes from the Washington Hospital Center. And a circulation publication with the first author, Collins, showed that in a fairly good number of patients, about 6,000 patients, African American patients were more likely to develop stent thrombosis when all other factors were accounted for, including socioeconomic status and clinical factors. And that was a three-year follow-up study, and I was intrigued by it because it's not entirely clear what that gradient of risk is due to. But there is a signal out there that stent thrombosis may be higher in African Americans. The question is why. And I think that requires further study. The authors from that publication, and we wrote a letter to the editor addressing some of these issues, suggested that there could be platelet-related factors. In my opinion, that's probably minimal. If you look at some of the CYP2C19 genetic polymorphisms, African Americans and Asians actually have a slightly higher likelihood of having some of the polymorphisms that create less activity, less effects of thionylpyridines. But the increase in stent thrombosis in these studies was 2 to 3-fold. And that doesn't account, these minor differences, which are 5 to 10% in these genetic polymorphisms, should not account for this larger gradient in stent thrombosis risk. So a lot of it may be related to just baseline characteristics that are inherited or that are associated with ethnicity. So on average, African Americans tend to have more heart failure, higher rates of diabetes mellitus, more hypertension, and perhaps a greater severity of the disease. That's very hard to tease out from some of these studies. So the question is, how does race impact stent thrombosis? And I think there's still a lot to be studied in that realm, and we have a lot more to learn. But there is a signal that there's probably an incremental risk.
And how does that risk impact the overall outcomes of the patients?
Well, you know, obviously, if you develop stent thrombosis, you're much more likely to die or have significant impairment of your LV function. So it's a big important, it's a very, very important event in a patient's life. And so obviously we have to do everything we can to reduce that risk. We don't know exactly how to apply this data to our decision making on a daily basis. But my take on this is, if you're going to treat an African-American patient with PCI, the first decision is, should it be done? I think you just stick to the standard criteria that we have now for the guidelines for performing elective and urgent PCI. There's no reason to believe that we should deviate from those guidelines based on any of the data out there thus far. The second thing is, if you're going to put in a stent in, I think still the data would suggest that drug-eluting stents work better to lower the risk of target vessel revascularization than do bare metal stents. I think that holds true for African Americans. It probably holds true for all ethnic groups. So that decision is still the same. However, if you implant a stent in an African American patient, I think you just need to realize there could be a slightly higher risk of stent thrombosis in that group, and the question is how can you reduce that? And I would argue that you just do the best that you can in implanting the stent, making sure that the stent is well opposed, as you would with any patient. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have a good conversation up front about platelet adherence and adherence to the adherence to dual antiplatelet therapy, and the patient's ability to afford the medication and be compliant with the medication. Interestingly, in Collins' study, adherence to the dual antiplatelet regimen was actually slightly better in African Americans in that study than in Caucasians. So that could not account for the differences that they saw in stent thrombosis. But these discussions have to be upfront, frank, and then a decision has to be made as to what the best stent is. You know, the question has also come up as to whether or not bedside platelet aggregation testing should be done, or genetic screening for some of the polymorphisms of the CYP2, the CYP2C19 enzyme. And it's not clear if that needs to be done. I would argue that perhaps the threshold should be a little bit lower in African Americans. If you tend to do this, it's probably a good group to think about doing this bedside testing in order to guide your therapy. I think we all realize that is still controversial, and I don't think we have enough data to say that universal testing is necessary. But I think if you're prone to having the test available, and you have it in your institution, it might be interesting to do it in some of your African-American patients to make sure that they go home on the right medication as well, in terms of perhaps one that they're more likely to respond to.
Sure. I thought it was very interesting in that study, and that a Gaglia from the Washington Hospital Center in a prior study had demonstrated that despite the difference in stent thrombosis, the overall outcomes of the patients when they controlled for socioeconomic status were similar. So there's still a similar benefit for African American patients with drug-eluting stents despite this red flag of stent thrombosis.
Yeah, I think that's true. The way I look at this is there are lots of different patient and interventional factors that go into a model that predicts stent thrombosis. Race may play a role in this, but I have a feeling that its risk is transferred through other confounding variables. That's what I suspect.
Yeah. It's hard. It's difficult when the comorbidities are so great, and we try to control for these in our studies, but it's difficult to control for them exactly to find all those confounders. So it's a challenge.
I think that there are some statistical limitations, frankly, and I think that the multivariable analyses that have been performed are only so good. And the question is, have we teased out all of these risk factors and all these other confounding variables enough? And if we haven't, what other variables are there that might confer extra risk? And that's where I think the money is. I think the question is, are we missing something? Mm. I don't know. I think it merits further investigation. And I hope in the next 5 years to 10 years we'll have a lot more information, especially with regards to the long-term follow-up of these patients. And it's going to be crucial that we enroll patients of all ethnic backgrounds in clinical trials, as is mandated by, you know, the federal regulations in terms of NIH-based studies. But we need to do that as well as we can moving forward, because this issue is becoming a much greater issue right. In the last few years than right. It was prior to this.
And we just don't have the numbers to identify real differences in such rare events as stent thrombosis in African-American patients.
That's the key. So you've got a rare event, but an extremely important event that needs to be tracked over a long period of time and in a group where the numbers are low in clinical trials. So there is a lot of inherent challenges when you're studying any ethnic group. But I think it's going to be very important because the Hispanic population, the African-American population, and the Asian population are expected to grow significantly in the next 2 decades, and to the point where by 2040 or so, that'll constitute more than greater than 50% of the population. So it's crucial that we have these ethnic-based studies to make sense of what we're seeing.
So on a more practical basis, so what do you do when you have a patient come in that needs a stent placed? They're an African-American patient. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? And how do you determine whether or not they should get the stent? And are there things that you can do to mitigate the likelihood of stent thrombosis?
Yeah. I actually don't really treat African-American patients any differently. I think the key thing is any patient who comes in deserves the best of care. And I think you have to be upfront and honest about your ability to understand the dynamics of the consent process and the dynamics of how well that patient will adhere to the dual antiplatelet therapy regimen. I think there's sometimes some biases that are in place, and if we're not careful, we can go down certain directions without really being fair to the patients. I think it's important to have a good, honest conversation with that patient about their ability to adhere to that program. If they can adhere, and as best as you can tell, and then I think they need to get the best therapy, which is a drug-eluting stent. I think a lot of these decisions are being made based on assumptions that patients may not be able to adhere to long-term dual antiplatelet therapy, as is recommended for drug-eluting stents. And I have a feeling that that accounts for some, but not all, of the tendency towards using less drug-eluting stents in African-Americans. Mm-hmm. So I think, really, you don't treat any ethnic group any differently. I don't think we have enough scientific basis on which to make those recommendations. But I would just use it, I would just put it out there as a potential minor flag that still should have physicians think about stent thrombosis in that individual, and whatever measure can be taken, be it platelet aggregation testing, genetic testing, or just ensuring that the stent is well implanted, perhaps a little more judicious use of intravascular ultrasound. Anything that the interventionalist thinks that he or she can do to stack the odds in favor of that patient not having a thrombotic event should be done. But I would argue that should be done universally.
Sure.
So I don't think we can say that you should treat African Americans any differently.
Sure. And you mentioned platelet testing.
Yes.
So our ability, once we identify a patient that may not respond to the standard dual antiplatelet therapy, sounds like now we have options.
Well, I think we have options with ticagrelor and prasugrel available now. These may be options. To be honest, we still don't know in the African American population if outcomes are improved using these new agents compared with Plavix. I think that if you're an inherent believer of the CYP2C19 hypothesis and responses to thionopyridines based on genetics or functional assays, then use them. I think that it's been a little slow to get those implemented in the guidelines because we're still waiting to understand the full benefit of that approach. But I think we're starting to see some signals that there may be actually some potential benefits from testing certain patients.
Great. So I think this has been a wonderful conversation. It highlights the challenges in dealing with subtle issues like the stent thrombosis issue in African-American patients, but it also highlights our need to use the guidelines and look at patients as individuals and address those issues with respect to compliance and treating patients with drug-eluting stents, making sure that they have no impending surgery or any reason to come off their dual antiplatelet therapy.
Yes.
And in doing so, we can ensure that they're going to get the best quality, safest care that they possibly can.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Well, thanks for joining us. This has been an interesting conversation, and I think that it gives us all food for thought. As we know that the issue of disparities has not gone away, I think we're making progress in minimizing them, but we need to really eliminate them. There are a number of initiatives out there that are working to take us in that direction. And we at the ABC will work hard to bring those issues to the forefront, whether it be through educational programs like this or other venues. So we thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt of the CME activity, Black and White, Racial Disparities in the Treatment of Patients with CAD. To participate in the CME activity, please go to medscape.org/features/audio and select the title.